Amen. Welcome to Grace Point Church. We're glad you're here, a day of hope and healing. And I want to say right off the start that no matter how dark the night or deep the valley, there is always hope in God. Amen? Hope and healing. And that's what we're talking about today, a day of hope and healing. We talk a lot, I do, about hope and healing and much of who we are as a church, that we want to provide hope for the hopeless and healing for the hurting. And so I thought it would be good to take a day where we just talk about this and look at what the Bible teaches and talk about the hope that we have in God, regardless of what surrounds us, regardless of what we face, that there is always hope in God. And so today, the teaching will be a little different. Typically, I'm verse by verse through the book of Colossians. So next week, I'll jump back into that, and we'll talk about kind of the direction as we'll go through the end of November and have a new series in December that I'll share with you in a couple of weeks. But today's different. I'm all over the Bible. I'm showing you different scripture passages that speak of the hope that we have in God and those passages right into your situation. So I'm thankful that you're here today, praying that you're encouraged by our time together already as we've been singing about the hope that we have in God. And now we'll talk about what the Bible teaches, what God has to say to us about the hope that we can always find in Him. In just a moment, I'm going to go to the book of Romans and share a verse with you. But before we get there, let me mention a couple of things just to keep you looped in here at Grace Point Church. First of all, Fall Festival is next Sunday night. It's hard to believe, but next Sunday is October 31. From 5 to 7 out in our field here, we'll be having Fall Festival. So I hope you'll make plans to be a part of that. We still need some people to be a part of the serve team, to volunteer. So if you can help us either with cars, you bring your car as a trunk and we'll park you out there, or if you just want to help in different ways to serve at the event, we could use your help. You can sign up as you leave these doors. To your left, you'll see a Fall Festival table there, or gpsignup.com. gpsignup.com, you can get there and click on the Fall Festival graphic and it'll take you to a place to sign up to help. So let me encourage you to do that today, so we will know as we're heading fast towards Fall Festival. Candy's still coming in. Thank you for that. You can keep bringing that in. Bring it by the office this week if you'd like, and then next Sunday morning bring that. And we're looking for a great event, probably well over 1,000 people since that we'll have here. So I hope that you can be a part of that. Bring your family, and also we'd love for you to serve and be a part of that. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, a meeting here in the worship center with men. I'd love for you to come in. You don't have to bring anything. Just come. You're not going to have to say anything, do anything. Just come and let me encourage you. Let me talk to you, come alongside you about what the Bible teaches about spiritual leadership, how in practical ways you can be a spiritual leader in your home. It's a beginning point. It's a starting point. So this is basic 101. Doesn't matter how much. You don't have to know Bible. I'm going to teach you that. Just come and let me just show you and teach you, and then we'll talk about kind of where we go after this Sunday and how I can continually encourage you to be the spiritual leader in your home that God wants you to be. It's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. As I said last week, the Cowboys have a bye week today. The Cowboys are not playing, okay? I know what's up on that. So no excuse there. You'll be home in time for whatever 325 game's on today. So I hope you'll come and be a part of that. 2 to 3 right here in the worship center. I'll have a devotional book for you and a couple other things I want to put in your hands to encourage you and help you along as you spiritually in your home. Coach for the Cold, I'll talk more about that next week. There's so much to do here today, but December 4th, so keep bringing those coats, please. Thank you, many of you this week. Just keep bringing 3,000. The vision is to give away 3,000 coats to people in the city of Denton who need a coat for the cold. We've done 2,000 this year. We need to do 3,000. It's a big vision, but I know we have, you know, you have big hearts and you would like to serve and step up. So it's another way that we can minister to our community. We'll be sharing the gospel as we do that. So continue to bring the coats, and we'll talk about being able to sign up for that event in a couple weeks. We have other things stacked up right now. So let's we'll talk about how to be involved in that event in the days ahead. Hope and healing. The hope and healing that we find in the Lord. Sometimes bad things in this world, bad things happen to good people. Life, we all know, life is not fair. And it can be at times very heart-wrenching. And I want to say to you today that if you are having one of those dark days today, or if you are going through a dark season or valley in your life, I want you to know that That's okay. God has you here for a purpose. Nobody's here today by accident. You may think, but I'm telling you, the sovereignty of God has brought every one of us here today. And so if you're in a difficult time, that's okay. We are not about denying the reality of brokenness in this world, of struggle, of trial, of difficulty, of hurt. We're not talking about denying that. We're doing just the opposite. We are acknowledging that we live in this broken, fallen world. But even in a broken, fallen, messed up world, we as Christ followers still believe that there is always hope in God. We believe that. Amen. So we talk about the struggles and the trials and the difficulties. So if you're at that place, that's okay. The question really today is not about the reality of brokenness, because I mean, I don't think I have to argue that theologically. I think you would all agree that we live in a broken, fallen world. We'll talk about it in Romans 8 in just a few minutes about the futility of this brokenness world and the broken world which we live in. But it's not just about the reality of that. Jesus himself, you will have tribulation in this world. The question today really is, how will you respond to it? How do you respond to the impact and the effects of living in this broken world? How do you respond to the hurt, to the grief, to the loss, to the struggle, to the trial, to the valley, to the whatever it is that it was before you that takes away your hope at times? How do we respond? And that's what we're going to dial in on today is to learn what the Bible teaches us about how to have that hope in God regardless of the circumstances around us. Because a lot of times we allow the circumstances around us to dictate how we will respond. And so today what I'm asking you to do is that whatever is before you, whatever trial or difficulty, and some are deep valleys. I know that. I know that as your pastor. Some of you I know, and others I don't know specifics, but some are going through deep waters and in deep valleys and difficult times. And today I want to encourage you to turn toward hope. That's what we're doing in the scriptures today. When I do weddings over the years, I will say to the bridal party at rehearsal, to the groomsmen and to the bridesmaids, I'll say, when the bride walks in, all eyes, everybody, you're focused on the bride. And when she walks in and she comes here to the altar, and then when she steps up onto the altar, then you turn toward the bride. Everything focuses on the bride. Today, we turn toward hope. Everything focuses on the hope that we have in God. But surely not just today. We certainly have kind of defined this as a specific day, but it's all throughout the scriptures. I'll show you, because I'm all the Old Testament, New Testament. I'll speak to the hope that we have in God, regardless of what is going on around us. Let me, in just a few minutes, when you came in on your chair, you hopefully saw one of these cards. And this is at the end. This is the last takeaway, but what we've done in the other services, and it's, I know at the back it's hard to see, but you can see these cards laid all along the altar here today. And so what I'm going to invite you to do, you don't have to do this if you're not comfortable coming on and doing that. You can just write it and then put it in your Bible if you want to do that. But what I'd like to give you the opportunity to do is to write down whatever, as we talk about burdens and struggles and trials, whatever it is that maybe is keeping you from hope. Whatever, what burden is on you, what regret, difficulty, or maybe it's fear of the future, maybe it's hurt from the past, maybe it's something that you're carrying around. And today I want to give you that opportunity to write that out, and then at the end of the service, we're going to lay that on the altar before the Lord, you know, to cast our cares on him. So we'll kind of make our way to that. But Romans chapter 15, verse 13, we start with this. There's two scripture passages I want to start with as we begin thinking about this hope that we have in God. Romans 15, 13, first of all, says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing,
so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Now, I want you to understand that verse right from the start, that this message today and this day of hope of healing is not for you just to say, hey, you need to try harder. Be more hopeful. That's not what that scripture says. Now, there may be times when if we've given up and we stop going to church, we stop getting around Christian friends, that you need to be things you need to do. But this verse tells us that this is what God does in us when we turn toward hope, which is what we're doing today through the scriptures. Let me read it again. May the God of hope fill you. He doesn't say, now you fill yourself up with hope. He said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Okay, so it's going to tie to our faith, which is increased through the scriptures, right? So pointing back to the scriptures points to God. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Not by your power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is what God does in you. This is the prayer I've had for you all last few weeks, I kind of set this day, hey, let's do, is that, that God would do that in you. And I really have prayed and hope still and believe and ask that this can be a turning point for maybe it's just one person. I don't know, of course, the three services. I pray for more, but even one that you'll look back and remember, this was the day I laid it down before the Lord. I really understood the hope that I have in God through the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit does a work in your life that you abound in hope regardless of what it looks like, what's going on around you. I want that for you. So as we begin, I want to share just some truths about Grace Point and what you find here. And for us as members, it's good to be reminded of this, I think, and also to guests just to know, you know, where we're coming from on this. This is a different service, as I said, in the sense of it's targeted toward this. It's not a verse by verse, but it's much of who we are here at Grace Point Church. Number one, I think it's important for you to know that this is a safe place here at Grace Point Church. This is a safe place. As I said, no accident that you're here. But it's a safe place where you can come with your darkness, if you're rolling through darkness, with your struggle, with your difficulty. It's a place where you can just be very transparent and very real. As you come to this place in our hearts is that you would, in the process of find that hope, find that healing, find that encouragement. There are no perfect people here. No perfect people allowed. We all struggle. And so I love that about this truth for Grace Point I really believe that we've embraced this, that whatever you're struggling with, come and be encouraged. And this is a safe place. We talked about mental health 4 years ago, and we talked about not allowing people in our church even to suffer in silence. You come and you speak, and we give you hope and encouragement and prayer and resources and come alongside you to help you through whatever it is that you may be battling in terms of mental health issues or other issues. So this is a safe place. Number two, you're not alone in your battles and your struggles and your trials and your depression and your anxiety and your whatever it may be. You're not alone. Now, the adversary likes to come alongside and try to tell you that in your marriage problem or problems with your kids or whatever it may be. Or you're the only one having health issues. That's not true. You are not alone. A broken world, the effects of sin get all of us. And so we all struggle. Some struggle with anxiety, some with depression, some with suicidal thoughts. Over 40 million in the United States suffer from anxiety. It's probably higher now, but millions of people. So many are struggling, so you're not alone. Number three, there's no judgment here. I already mentioned that in number one. Whatever you're struggling with today, we want to lead you to the hope we have in God and the gospel and in his word. That's what we want to do today and really every Sunday. That's the heartbeat. Today we just dial in a little closer. There is no judgment here. We all struggle. It's Billy Graham who said, evangelism is just one beggar leading another beggar to the food. And that's exactly kind of what we're doing, right? Nobody's perfect here. We all struggle. And we're just pointing you to the hope that we have in God. And we know God will be faithful. There's no shame here. We don't want you to feel shame for your struggle. That's from Satan. I've already mentioned that, you know, no matter how dark it is, that there's light in the gospel. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So Paul himself recognizes, I'm praying. In other words, God does that. We turn toward hope, that we're doing today through the scriptures. And then God is the one that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he's called you. So God's called you to hope. You understand that? God's called you to live a life of hope, not a life of defeat, discouragement, fear, or hopelessness. He's not called you to that. That's not what God wants. He wants you to know the hope to which he has called you. And so today, through the very start with the video that points toward hope, to the scripture passages, to the message, to everything, it's pointing towards that hope that we have in God. So as we kind of focus on that today, I want to give you five, and I'll go fairly quickly because there are five, and we're going to then worship through the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to have a chance to, those who would like to come and just lay their burdens here on the altar. Five takeaways. So how do we turn towards hope? What are some ways specifically that looks like? I'm just giving you five. There's many more, but let's start with these five. Takeaway number one: turn toward hope and find forgiveness for sin and the promise of a new beginning. That gives us hope in God. When we can be forgiven for our sins, we have second chance, we have new beginnings. Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have made mistakes. All of us have sinned, the Bible says. No, not one of us are perfect. And so the hope that we have in God is that we can turn toward hope, toward him, and we find forgiveness for our sin. We find second chances. We find new beginning. That's the gospel message. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's the hope that we have in God. No matter our past, God forgives. So when we turn toward hope, we find that forgiveness for our sins. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. So we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. And Satan wants to just continue. The enemy wants to remind you and beat you up with that over and over and over. What happens when he does that? It takes away your hope. Life's over, man. It's my past. I made a mistake. That's exactly what he wants to do. But when we turn toward hope, we find the truth of what the scriptures say. God says you're forgiven. You're cleansed of all unrighteousness. You can begin again. Second chance and new beginnings. This is the hope of the gospel. And as one writer said it this way, just because your past didn't turn out like you wanted it to doesn't mean your future can't be better than you ever imagined. That's the hope that we find in God. That we can be forgiven, we can have second chances, and we can have new beginnings. Takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, turn toward hope and remember that God still does the impossible. Everybody say amen. Amen. God still does the impossible. I think if we're not careful, we kind of just think it happened back there in that day. And it did. But God still does the impossible. And yet for many of us, I think you've all been there, this day in and day out of brokenness has turned our confident boast that nothing is impossible with God into a weary, nothing is ever going to change. That's what the world does to you. And that's why you need to turn toward hope. You might not voice it out loud, but maybe you've come to expect that, well, God's not going to answer that prayer. And you have decided that that brokenness in your life will dominate your life, the headlines of your life, the rest of your life. But that's not what God offers. When we turn toward hope, we find that there's forgiveness for sin. We find that God still does the impossible. Number three, takeaway number three. When we turn toward hope, we find God in every single moment of our struggle and suffering. We do not struggle alone. And that's what the adversary does. It makes us feel alone. We're struggling by ourselves. God not with us. God has forgotten us. So turning towards hope today reminds us that we find God in every moment of our struggle, in every moment of our suffering. Romans chapter 8, I'll start in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And let me stop right there. When we talk about worldly hope and biblical hope, there is a clear difference between worldly hope and biblical hope. So worldly hope would be wishful thinking. When we say things like, I sure hope that, and it could be, you know, for me, I sure hope that next Sunday night at Fall Festival, it's not 100 degrees where the children sweat to death in their costumes like every year. I'm hoping. Now, right now, it's 77. But, you know, we're a week away. We're in Texas, and we have to depend on the forecasters. So let's not hope for that. You know what I mean? So that's worldly hope. Or you say, I hope that I get that job. Or I hope that we go to Babes today for lunch. Or I hope that, you know, fill in the blank. Whatever. That's worldly hope. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's vastly different than biblical hope. So biblical hope is not just a desire for something good to happen. It's a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. So it's an assurance of something that is. For example, when I talk about the hope of heaven, the Bible speaks of the hope of heaven. When we talk about the hope of heaven, the hope of heaven is no, it's not like, ooh, I sure hope that, you know, heaven's after this life. That's not biblical hope. The hope of heaven and biblical hope would be that we have the assurance and the confidence, and we know that the moment a believer closes their eyes in death, they open them in the presence of God for eternity. Amen? Amen? And if you have somebody who's gone before you, my friend, and they know Jesus, they are in the presence of God right now in heaven for eternity. That is the hope of heaven. And so when we talk about biblical hope, that's what we mean. That's different than worldly hope. And so when we talk about the hope that we have in God, it's not wishful thinking. It's the confident assurance that God will do exactly what he said he'll do, and he has done what he said he has done. So when he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, I think he's talking about when we're face to face in the presence of God in heaven. All right, so what you see here is you see Romans 8 talking about, this is what I mentioned earlier, talking about the reality of the brokenness in this world, and yet it sandwiched in between the first and last about suffering is the hope. That's a hope statement. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So there's the hope. But he goes on, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility. So that's the brokenness, defining the brokenness of the world. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. So that's that paragraph starts with suffering, ends with suffering. But in the middle is the hope that we have in God. Now, until that day where we're face to face with him, we live in this broken world. There will be the reality of suffering. Turning toward hope means we recognize the presence of God in the midst with us, in the midst of that suffering. Two verses, then we go to the next one. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And then 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, this is how you will endure your hard time right now. It wants to take your hope. This is it. This is turning toward hope as we turn toward the scriptures. We remember, 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, we remember before our God and Father that your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love. Now watch this, here it is. Don't miss it. And your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you endure. It's through the hope that we have in God. God does that in you. He helps you endure. Takeaway number four, turn toward hope and face your future with faith. When we turn toward hope, we can be confident in the future. And we can face it with faith. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, this is a typical, I've taught this before. Let me just remind you, Grace Point family. This is a typical premise, promise, verse. Every promise in the Bible has a premise. God always does his part, which is the promise. We have to do our part, which is the premise. If you don't do the premise, you won't experience the promise. A lot of people want the promise without ever doing the premise. You follow me? Here it is right here in this verse. But those who hope in the Lord, boom, right there. That's what you're called to do. Right there, the hope. That's what we're talking about today. Where's your hope? But those who hope in the Lord, that's my part. Now here's what God's going to do. We'll renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's a promise from God. But you and I have to do the first part, which is turn toward hope, those who hope in the Lord. It's not hoping in other people. It's not hoping in the world. It's not hoping in how much money I can make. It's not hoping in my giftedness or my abilities. It's my hope is in the Lord. And if my hope is in the Lord, then he does. He renews my strength. I soar like and run. I don't get tired. Walk and not faint. That's the hope that we have in God. And so here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that if you're tired, we all get there, man. You know, when I get tired and weary and worn out, I realize that I'm leaning way too much into my own self. And I'm not leaning into God. I'm not fully trusting him. I'm trying to control the situation. I'm trying to force the outcome that I want. That's why I wear out. My hope is in what I can do. My hope is me making it happen. My hope is, instead of letting God be God, my hope is in God, and then my strength is renewed. The scripture is full of saints who had this powerful hope in God despite the brokenness that what was before them. There are many in the scriptures that really locked eyes with the world's fundamental brokenness. They sized it up from head to toe, and they still stepped forward in faith. We see examples of this. This is what we're called to do. We're called to this hope, regardless of how it looks. We speak words of hope. Again, we're not trying to deny and be unrealistic, but we turn towards hope. It becomes greater than what we face. Abraham looks at himself and his barren wife, and he says in Romans 4, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. Ruth turns her eyes from a husband that had died to a new country and tells Naomi, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Habakkuk sees the Babylonians coming to destroy his people. And yet he still sings in Habakkuk 3, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the Lord, the God of my salvation. And then Micah collapses under the weight of his own sin, and yet he boasts, when I fall, I shall rise. Each of these say, I sin in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Micah 7, verse 8. So each of these saints and many others knew what it felt like to stand in neck deep brokenness. They knew what that was like. They felt the tension between God's promises and their seemingly hopeless situations. And yet they still chose to hope in God. They still chose to hope in God. Christian hope, then, is not the kind that blinds itself to reality. It's the kind that looks a newly sealed tomb and says, this story is not over. Amen? Amen. It looks at a newly sealed tomb and says, this story is not over. And I want to say to you, my friend, I don't know everybody's situation, and I'm not in any way downplaying darkness, valley, hurt, struggle, fear, whatever has been done to you or happened, or whatever is before you. But I want to tell you, when you hope in God, your story is not over. Your story is not over. Turn toward hope in God. Takeaway number five, last, turn toward hope and lay your burdens at the altar. As we were kind of going towards towards this. Sometimes the smallest step in the right direction ends up being the biggest step of your life. Tiptoe up you must, but take that step. Step in faith, regardless of the circumstances, in hope. I step to God. I turn toward hope in God. Psalm 55, 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So let's pray together as we come to the table. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to come to the table. One of our elders, Jeremy Moon, is going to come up here and he's going to walk us through the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is all about hope that we have. And then after that, I'll come back up and we'll have an opportunity to lay our burdens on the altar. Before we do, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the gospel message, the good news. Gospel means good news. And the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, my friend. Let me just say to you, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I want to give you that opportunity today, right now. Just before we come to the table, and before we finish out our service in just a few minutes, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Romans 3:23, I've already read it, says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have sinned. I have, you have, we're born sinners. And that sin has separated us from God. In Romans 6, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Bible is clear that God sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. And the Bible says that he was buried, then he rose again 3 days later, proving he was God. And he is seated now at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that if we will repent of our sins, acknowledge that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, the Bible says that we will be saved. We will have eternal life in heaven. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, ask him to be Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray a prayer based on what the Bible teaches. And if you've never prayed and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray it. Just where you're seated, silently, just between you and God, I invite you to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Today I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, died on a cross for my sins. I believe you rose again, proving you are God. Today I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and to be my Lord and my Savior. Today I surrender all to you. Thank you for hearing me, and thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Look right here for just a moment before we do the Lord's Supper. If you prayed that prayer, my friend, you can know for sure based on the authority of God's word that Christ lives in you. And here at Grace Point, we want to come alongside you. We want to pray with you. We want to disciple you. We want to encourage you as you begin your new life in Christ. So if you prayed that prayer, please let us know. I'll be at the back door today as every Sunday when you leave. I would love for you to come over to that door and just share with me that you prayed that prayer. Or you can find one of our other pastors in the lobby or just ask where it's one of the pastors. Or you can reach out, Pastor Dave at gracepointdenton.com. Just send an email, let me know, because we want to celebrate with you, come alongside you as you begin your new life in Christ. As we continue our time, though, we come to the table. As we see the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, it is a message of hope. So Jeremy Moon's going to lead us through our time, the Lord's Supper.
So as we get started, a few reminders. The elements have been distributed, so if you look to your left or your right, you should be able to find the cup. The upper part is going to be the bread. The lower part is the juice, so if you'll grab that and get that ready. But a few other reminders. We're called upon to do the Lord's Supper together as believers. So if you haven't accepted Christ and if you're not a believer at this moment, we just ask that you observe this time with us. We're thankful that you're here, but we do ask that you just observe that. For those of you that are worshiping with us from home, you may not have the elements, but we know that you can still be prayerful with us and remembering the reason for celebrating the Lord's Supper together. So I'll give you a moment here in just a second to just prepare yourself, but just a few reminders of what we are remembering here, that we are remembering Jesus. We're remembering the life that he lived and the fact that he died the death that we deserved for our sins. So that's something that you can remember at this time. And ultimately the love that God has for us, that he made a way, that he gave us the hope through Jesus and through Jesus' return. So I just want to give everyone just a moment just to prepare your heart before we read the verses. So reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You can take the bread. And continuing from verse 25, it says, "In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You can go ahead and take the juice. And then if you'll pray with me. Our Father God, we are just so thankful for just the fact that you made a way for us long before any of us even existed. Father, that you sent your Son to earth to live as a man and to die for our sins. We thank you, Jesus, that you knew what was to come and that you were willing to take on that for us. And we just thank you for being our Savior and for giving us the hope that you provide. We pray, Lord, that you will just continue to help us to walk in your light and that your light would just shine through us. And we pray that others around us will see you in everything that we do and that they will have the desire to have the relationship with you that we have. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your generosity to us each and every day. And we just can't praise you and thank you enough. We love you, God, and we just pray that you continue to be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. So hopefully one of these on your seat close by. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray with me, but take a moment again, however the Lord leads you. It may be something that you've been carrying around from the past. It may be something right now you're struggling with. Relationship, maybe anxiety, maybe just whatever it may be that you're saying, I want to lay this on the altar before the Lord, and I want the Lord to give me hope in this situation, so I lay down my burdens on him. So our worship team's going to come, and I'm going to ask if you would stand with me, and if you would just bow for a moment in prayer, and they come and get settled, and I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, I'm going to walk and put mine here on the altar, and invite you to join me. You don't have to wait on anybody. Just come and just put that on the altar as we sing and make your way back, and then we'll just continue to worship, and then I'll come back up in a moment, pray over these, and then we'll finish our service this morning. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, so many, we all struggle. Certainly, Father, we know that, and some perhaps walking through deeper valleys than others right now, but I'm praying, God, that every person here, especially those who are maybe come feeling hopeless about something, that you, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, will restore, renew hope, that we may abound in hope, God, regardless of what is before us, because that is your promise. That is what you will do. So we turn towards you, God. Our hope is in you today. We cry out to you, Father. We look to you today. So as we come and lay these burdens on the altar, just symbolically, Father, of giving them to you, I pray that there will be a sense of release as we do that in faith and trusting you, God, to do, we know, what you will do. Today, we cast these burdens on you and we turn toward hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.